Welcome to Grit and Gravitas with Ann and Annie, bringing you savvy, spirited stories of success. We're excited to deliver 30 minutes of inspiration, impact, and goodness. We'll be bringing you guests and friends from around the country who have very special work and personal journeys. I'm Ann Dieter Gallagher, your co-host with Annie Carnathan, and this is Grit and Gravitas. Let's go! Happy podcast day.
Yeah.
We're super excited, and I'm just realizing I say that every opening for the podcast, but we're still super excited.
Thank you.
Mary Oliveira, we are thrilled to have you in studio today, Annie Carnathan. And Mary, when I think about high gear women and role models for me, not only regionally, but statewide, you are on the top three.
Oof,
that come
oof,
up.
Whoa. Wow.
Yes. Yes.
And that's high praise coming from the high gear queen herself.
There you go. That is. I have to say.
I've written about and talked about C1 to B1. The younger generation needs aspirational women. They need women to say yes to big ass so they can follow us and know, okay, well, this is how it's done. Okay, well, women can be in STEM, and women can be astronauts, and women can be whatever we want to be.
Right.
And that's you when I think of you, and you've had such a remarkable ascension.
Thank you.
To the C-suite. And we talked a little bit. We always have a podcast before the podcast. I just love how you said yes to the big ass in your life. And even in the last decade, you've had some fabulous milestones. So, Mary, give us a little background. What's happened in the last 10 years and describe your title now at
Whittaker.
Absolutely.
And thank you. So like Dorothy took off for the great big city of Washington, D.C. for college and, you know, clicked my heels three times a few years later to come back and raise my family where I too was born and raised. So love that, you know,
that's
local
great.
Roots
came back to,
connectivity,
yes.
came
yes.
back home and worked for PSECU for over a decade. So, you know,
that's where our paths crossed.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. Working with some great marketing leaders there and representing a not-for-profit financial institution near and dear to my heart, nonprofit,
a very big one.
So you mentioned statewide, and that's really where I got the opportunity to travel all over Pennsylvania and do a lot in the business community for the residents of those communities. So it was kind of, you know, a tangible dual impact there. And then I got to that point in, you know, the life cycle where son is heading off to college, daughter's now in high school, they're a little more independent. So I was ready to kind of figure out what's next for me. And the Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry came calling.
That's another big one. Yes.
Another big one. If you look back on time mentioning that college, you know, journey in Washington, D.C., you know, political science major from American University.
Awesome.
But like most people, shelved that actual college degree and got into marketing. And, you know, a whole bunch of other things as the actual job journey that took me forward. And then it was time to come full circle. So I joined the chamber in the fall of 2018 and got to work with an incredible leader, you know, truly one of our absolute statesmen, I think, of Pennsylvania that will go down in history, Gene Barr, and spent 4 years there through the pandemic. Mm. Again, as that point of connectivity from the politics side, not my, you know, day job, but really engaging the business community and connecting them to what was happening in the Capitol and what was going on from a political perspective. And it really was just a moment in time that gave me a great understanding of how much more need our state, obviously our country as well, but focusing here for, you know, Pennsylvania, how we could impact it day to day just by thinking a little bit more outside of the box. That's one of my, you know, go-tos, like, don't think inside. Don't think outside. Kick the box down Second Street.
You see, we're in good company.
No boxes here, you know.
Yeah.
So I spent 4 wonderful years there. And then again, knock, knock, knock. So this is now the second time the knock is happening. And two friends back in that marketing and advertising industry said, hey, we're going to join our companies together. And we'd love to have you join us and help us figure out this, you know, rhythm of business here for two very different personalities.
That was a co-brand, actually,
yes.
to create a new brand.
Created a whole new brand. And I stepped out of the front of the scenes typical role that I had been in with the credit union and with the chamber, and went into a COO role. So got to actually build up and flex those muscles more on the operations side, you know, IT, HR, some of the, you know, backbone infrastructure needed to help a business come to life, and was well entrenched in that and doing a bunch of different projects, and then knock, knock, knock.
So there's a theme here to have so many knocks at the door. That's good.
Got a call from a well-beloved community leader who said, this opportunity just became available and your name came up as someone who should throw their hat in the ring. What do you think? And I said, absolutely. Let's do this. Let's see where it goes. Curiosity is always where I start emotionally. Every day.
That's a business vitamin.
Start from a place of curiosity. What does this day have in store for me? Who am I going to meet? What obstacles are going to come up? You know, what am I going to need that glass of wine for at the end of the day? So that was spring of last year, and it was a nationwide search. You know, Whitaker Center for almost 25 years has been an absolute cornerstone of the Harrisburg and regional community. And so to be of consideration to step into the role as the first female president and CEO.
That's amazing.
In position.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Was just so meaningful in so many ways. So as the process unfolded and the offer came right after Labor Day, I turned to my husband. I said, okay, get ready. You know, here we go. And so here I am, day 91 in position. So I said, you know, I was so excited to not see a pink slip in my mailbox when I went in. Probationary period is over. She's digging in, and maintenance is finally hanging some artwork up on the walls in my office now that they know they're stuck with me for a while. So
that's amazing.
That's the journey.
That's amazing. So you're empty nesters now. The children are in college.
Yes. Okay. Son is in grad school, back down in DC, although not at my alma mater, sad to say. And our daughter is in nursing school out in Pittsburgh. So they're doing their young adulting thing, and they're, you know, going to give back to the world in their ways. And so now it's about adventure. My decade of discovery, I called it. Hit the big 5-0 2 years ago. And that's what I proclaimed it as. Decade of discovery, back to curiosity. So, you know, when this opportunity with Whitaker Center came along, it just fit right in line with, you never know until you try.
Well, and I know that Whitaker Center is really a destination in Harrisburg.
It is.
And it's very intentional to be that way. And you serve, you know, little children on up to adults. You just said you're going to have date night for Valentine's Day. And Annie, you were a board member there. So you have deep roots there.
Not deep so much, so that I think did serve. But my curiosity for you is, everything sounds completely wonderful, and there had to be dark moments. There had to be times where you were completely thrown off the rails. I mean, you know, what was some of the more difficult setbacks, comebacks? When people don't have someone knocking on their door to say, hey, here's this tremendous, wonderful opportunity. I mean, literally, no one's ever done that for me, right? So I think that in and of itself, I'm sitting here thinking, like, how many times that, like, but what didn't go well? Because it's enormously difficult to change. There's almost not a more difficult thing to onboard a new job for probably like 10 variable reasons. So what were some of, when you look back, Mary, on that journey, what were some of just the darkest moments where you're like, right?
I've experienced them.
Yeah.
There was a moment in time where I was, you know, we as women know that getting on that first rung of the ladder is sometimes one of the hardest ones. You know, you're jumping and you're jumping and you're trying to figure it out, and you're in that, you know, mid groove of your building up your professional journey. And I applied for a promotion and was told, don't get your hopes up. We'll probably hire a man for that job.
Oh, wow.
And that's interesting you talk about a ladder, because I talk about that at my company all the time. Because we're like in sort of like just really nationally scaled now. And the point is, we don't need an all or nothing. Put me on the ladder on the bottom rung.
Right.
Put me there and watch me climb.
Exactly.
Thrilled to be on the ladder. Mm-hmm. It'd be a couple rungs up from that. Okay. There's just more pressure.
Yeah.
Right. On the way down. So I love that analogy. And so, hey, we're going to hire a man just because, or did they give you any?
No, that was literally almost verbatim what was said. Go ahead. Give it a try. Great experience. Yeah. Just don't get your hopes up.
So how did you respond to that?
I still threw my hat in the ring.
Good, good.
You know, little Irish lass doesn't take no very easily. But it was painful. It was, you know, it was other, you know, women in positions of ability to change something that, you know, went with the system.
Right.
And so I was bitter. I was angry for a while and I let it affect me. Certainly. I had to learn from that. You have to learn how to be a sore loser sometimes too.
That's absolutely right. And we're human.
Exactly.
And would we want to respond perfectly to every situation? But I've known people and I'm in sales. So I have an intimate knowledge of no.
Yeah.
No in every capacity there could possibly be. It's as normalized and internalized as any word in the English language for me. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to do that, that's what you're going to hear, the overwhelming majority, right?
Exactly.
And so I know people that will not compete if they're not guaranteed of a victorious outcome. And I'm not sure how you stretch like that in life.
I do too.
I'm not sure how you go through cycling those feelings. And everyone needs time to do it and how you try to put a good face on it.
Right.
And you know what your intent is and you know what's in your heart. But fighters fight.
Exactly.
Right? And so it's tough even within our own internal thing to go, you know, this is fine. It's almost part of that process.
Mm-hmm. But that's a lesson we need to teach our children too.
That's so fascinating.
When everybody gets a trophy, nobody even understands how to lose.
Correct.
Or that chances are very, very high when you get out in the workplace. You will lose at something, or a project you're working on won't meet the expectations, right. You know. So understanding how to go through those emotions, and you said you let it affect you, which most people, but it's good that you know, if you can step back and analyze that, okay, how should that situation arise again? How am I going to, you know, emotionally keep myself in check or find, you know, a shoulder outside of the office or a mentor or, you know, a relationship that you could confide in or have wise counsel.
And learn to not always personalize everything.
Oh, jeez.
We do that to ourselves.
Especially as women.
Yes. We do that to ourselves.
Especially
so
as
we
women.
Assume that there's some hidden layer of nuance behind a statement or a decision or an action that doesn't meet what we thought it would.
Right.
And it's not always about us. And you know,
some things just aren't fair.
It's just not the time. It's not the right time or the right situation or whatever it may have been.
And people ask Ann and I, like, are we making progress with women versus men? I'm just like, I don't know. Sometimes it just stinks, period. It doesn't not stink for men.
Right.
Right. Maybe they're going to hire a woman. Right? I mean, I do think, though, that you have to put a good face on that. And when you're competitive and you're first, and look, you win or you lose. You're going to win or lose that promotion.
Correct.
You lost.
Correct.
Almost from the jump, right?
Yeah.
It was stacked against
you. It was already,
Yeah. Set. And that I think, Anne, is so, not that what you did, like amazing, there's tremendous value in that and just making that leap and being that curious. But what happens when you sort of get socked in the gut and there is no good why?
Yeah.
Right? It just stinks.
So you decide, like in that situation, I had that in my first job. You decide, is it worth fighting for? I say fighting, you know, is it worth you revisiting that with the VP or CEO or whoever, like having that conversation of, you know, this is what I heard. Mm-hmm. I applied. Let's just put fairness on the table. You know, if qualification wise, A and B were all the same, you know, walk me through what that was to see if maybe you can, if there's a possibility by you presenting that, that they would change their decisions, or for the next young lady, you've maybe moved that barrier for the next young lady.
I would like to think I did, because I did exactly what you just laid out.
Good.
I went to and through the process of relaying my concerns,
right,
and making sure parity was in place.
Yep.
So an outside objective third party, you know, assessor was brought in to determine, appropriate. And whether it's had a lasting impact or not, the lesson I learned in that was standing up for myself, yep. you know, and I've turned that into words that I've used, whether it's at a peer level with my own 20-year-old daughter. You have to be your own advocate before you can expect anyone else to advocate for you. You have to learn your voice and use it.
Yeah.
Use your voice for yourself.
And that's uncomfortable.
It is uncomfortable. It is very uncomfortable. You know, fast forward to another job, and I had received a promotion that I put out in a proposal and said, hey, you know what? Here's the workload I'm doing. Here's what you're asking of me. This is what makes sense, not only for me, but the organization as well. And, you know, it was well thought out, well crafted, went to a mentor, asked to have it, you know, shaped appropriately. Right. And got an offer, you know, from a compensation perspective that was definitely very lowballing because I had also done my homework.
Right. Yeah.
I had done my homework. Good. I had done my homework within the organization at the peer level I was going to be joining. I had done my homework industry-wise for apple-to-apple comparison. Yeah. And it was so assumed from a societal, you know, perspective that my supervisor had already signed the document that was put across the desk with the compensation offer that came along with the promotion. And I sat there for probably about 10 seconds and probably felt like 10 hours. And I said, that's not the number I had in mind.
Silence can be very effective, though. Mm-hmm. Learning when not to talk. And
except
and,
on our show.
Yes. Yes, we don't have any silence
here. We don't even have time for silence.
No.
But I think, too, there's an enormous amount of class in that. Mm-hmm. So what do people do if they're not promoted? They think they should. It's not fair.
Yep.
Legitimately. Right? They take their ball and go home.
Right.
They fire the company.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's an option. That, you know, if you think the future there, that those are the rules of engagement there, and you're not going to change them, that's an option.
The fire aim ready when you're hurt.
Yes,
is to think I'm going to hurt you.
Exactly.
Because when I'm Strike not back. Here, you're going to be hurt by that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, it illustrates. I didn't get promoted the first time at what now is iHeart. Okay. The second time. I didn't. No reason. No, this is what you have to do. Nothing. You know, the silence was deafening.
Mm.
Right. Mm. And I thought I knew, but, you know, first time, shame on you. Second time, shame on me. And I'm a loyalist.
Mm-hmm. What was the time frame difference between the first and the second? Like a year or 6 months?
Maybe like a year. That was just like, that was someone from Allentown just keeping the seat warm until they hired another boys. But the point was, it then took me a year after that. So I knew then I was leaving because to their way of thinking, I mean, I'm halfway through my career.
The path was not going to
open. And there's no headroom. Yeah. Like my head's right up against the sit, messing up my hair. And I'm like, ooh, I'm not going anywhere. So it was just, but that took a year. Because I truly believe that you can't run from something. You have to run to something. And I didn't want to cut off my nose to spite my face. And the first thing I had to do, which I never imagined doing, is, well, what do I want to do?
Yeah.
What am I good at? Right? And someone said to me, Annie, sell something everyone needs. And I loved business. I loved strategy. I loved putting pieces. I loved building things.
Yeah.
And I started to call what were media agencies that I worked with respected. And that's how I talked to. But it turned out I wanted to be here. I wanted to respect who was there. I wanted to come and be part of something every day, you know. And so I think it's just it's really difficult to fight through that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. But I say all the time, we can't let a bad day make us think we have a bad life.
No.
Or a bad career. Because we've worked to get to that point. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's very difficult to do when you're hurt.
And sometimes, though, you have to realize when is the time to fight. So if no one, to your point, Mary, if you didn't find your voice, if no one finds their voice, 10 years down the road, nothing changes because we didn't. It doesn't mean the first, you know, ask or the first challenging conversation you have with the CEO or whoever. Those things start to build. My very first job out of college, I did not receive health insurance, but so my husband was in college in his last year, but all the men, their health insurance covered their wives. But because I wasn't the man, you know, it wasn't going to cover Corey.
And Corey were married and it wasn't going to cut.
No.
Wow.
So I went in. Now,
maybe
this
we
is.
We have come a long way, baby. Wait.
But the point, so it had never, it was a 100-year-old denominational publishing house, and that was just the way it was. I also heard, you know, many comments about, well, we could get two women for, you know, what the price of the male salary is. So I went in and had the conversation, and they did change it. And then I had come to learn that my predecessor, she left for the very same reason, because her husband was a artisan. He was a professional wood sculptor. And so he, you know, was self-employed. He didn't have insurance, and they did not afford her husband insurance. So I had insurance, but it didn't go to Corey. So they changed it. And, you know, it was kind of, you have to make the ask.
Brava. Yeah. Absolutely.
Regardless of how foreboding it feels, because then all the women after you, that chapter is open now. It's not, there's other opportunities. There's other things. I didn't deal with every grievance. You got to do one at a time.
Pick your battles.
But, you know, sometimes.
You pick your battles. You've got to be smart about it.
Sometimes it's because no one sat down and had that conversation. Like, this is inequality.
Yeah.
It's not right. Let's just go at the very beginning. It's not fair. It's not the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And how could we change that? Now, clearly, if you're going in there, you know, blazing with fire, you're not getting anything. So there's methods to having that conversation. So kudos to you for having the conversation.
Yeah, it's not easy. No. You know, again, but whoo, man, I mean, you're sitting there and there's the authority and there's the gender power struggle. And, you know, you're staring at someone across the desk. But in that moment, to your point, you know, and I said this most recently at a holiday reception at Whitaker when I spoke for my first time publicly and said, being the first female CEO and president installed here is incredibly meaningful, you know, especially at this institution, what it means to our community. But it's not meaningful as much to me at this point in my life in terms of my resume or my ego. It's for all the other young women who are in this reception here with us tonight. It's for my 20-year-old daughter standing over there, you know, taping me on her phone right now. And it's for my mom, who was a teenage mother and didn't even graduate from high school.
Wow.
And was not able to be there to celebrate that night with me. That's why one of my whys for accepting this role as well. Because we all deserve to have those three letters on our business card if we want them there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, wow.
And touche. And I do think we're doing this show to fight for women who will come after us.
Yep.
You know, ways to handle things, uncomfortable moments we wish we had back.
Exactly. Well, we
they're
going to
wish they had back. And one last thing, because I'll lose it, is how we tend to get emotional sitting across from that man having the conversation. Women just do.
We do.
You know, and the tears, and you're mad at yourself. Like, it's just sort of not what women want to have happen, right? And so there's just a lot to manage in that capacity. Sorry.
No, I totally lost my
thought. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No.
I just wanted to say how tough
that
it is
good.
To not...
Yeah.
To go against everything that makes us a superpower and makes us special, to not do in that moment going toe to toe with a dominating male who's already looking sort of not looking at you, like, not that you're an equal. And
that's
already infuriating, right? And I just think a lot of women, I mean, I know talking to employees, the overwhelming, I've never had a guy cry talking about, you know, performance or here's what you have to, it's always a woman. So it's hard.
So great example. And when you're talking, Mary, about people knocking on your door, we have challenged many times or tried to send a message to younger women is, if no one knocked on your door, and that's probably rare, which you're quite the amazing woman that's
incredible.
Occurred to.
No.
Don't be afraid to knock on the door.
Correct.
Like one of my favorite sayings is Jonathan Winters, and I'm totally dating myself. If your ship doesn't come in, swim to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not waiting for the door of opportunity to open because I'm going to be prepared for it. Should it come to me before I knock, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But for younger women out there, we've talked about women on boards. Go make the ask to, you know, you want to be on the airport board. You want to be on a bank board. You want to be on a nonprofit. do your research, starting on LinkedIn. It's an easy search to find out who all is serving, mm-hmm. and put that part of your strategy, you know, for your own leadership development. Knock on the doors, reach out to people, ask a CEO for coffee, 15 minutes of his or her time, mm-hmm. to start building that network where you do come. You clearly, from your service and your performance at your jobs, people knew who you were, mm-hmm. or they wouldn't have been knocking on your door. Exactly. So we could talk about branding, and you were great at doing your own PR, like putting yourself out there, not being shy about where you serve and why you serve and what value you bring. And that's, I think a lot of us, especially women, are just, we don't want to be our own PR agent.
That's true. And that's something that resonates that I've taught both of my children, my son and my daughter,
right.
you know, again, parity and equity about the playing board for everyone involved. And recurringly, there's a little thing called Marioisms, you know, that whether it's my family, whether yeah. it's team members, peers, you know, I'm always coming up with something. Oh, put that in the Marioism, you know, Marioism box. But I've told them their entire life, you can either take an opportunity when it comes along, or you can go out there and make them happen.
Yep.
And that speaks to what you business were just vitamin. Saying.
Take the opportunity or go make it happen. Exactly. Either way, you know, it's you're going to have a great outcome. You're going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go left or right from the opportunity, or you're going to say yes and yeah. and be on a whole new journey.
And make the ask, you know, yeah. again, to your point that you just said, I recall vividly, I was serving on a school board and...
that's a big level of service.
Whole other, yeah.
That's a lose-lose. That's a lose-lose.
I'm a big quote person because I think everybody said it better than I could. The quotes sort of turn into your horoscope, right?
Yeah.
It's where you are in the world. And the other day I read Leo DiCaprio said, I'm 97% sure you don't like me. I'm 100% sure I don't care.
There you go.
Oh, that's a good
and
one.
And for that's women, again, if you look at who are you with 24/7, yeah. who do you have to constantly manage, maintenance, stuff like that? It's yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is. It's the thing in the airplane when the oxygen mask drops, do your own first. Because if you're dead, you're not helping anyone
right,
else.
Exactly.
You have
right.
to, you know, and I do think that women in projecting that or believing that or knowing that have a tendency to seem haughty,
mm-hmm.
you know, dominant. Like and look, like they're not, if a man were that way, he'd be in the C-suite. Right. Or running boards or, you know, and so women do that. And there is not the same standard to that.
No.
And I don't care about that either. Right. Mm-hmm. Because no one can be everyone's cup of tea. No one can advocate for you if you yourself isn't going to.
Exactly.
And it's a process of elimination. Right. I don't want anyone around me that doesn't believe in me, know who I am, know what I bring. Right. And
yeah.
so I think that's a difficult really enduring concept, but very, very tough.
And it takes a while to get comfortable mm-hmm. with that one. It does.
It does.
So,
yeah.
you know, to my 25-year-old self or my 21-year-old daughter to say it and to believe it, but then to actually embrace it, you know, are different things. It makes sense, you know, in our mind, but
yeah.
how do we wrap ourselves around it and then go out there and live it and be it?
It's a Miley Cyrus song,
yeah.
Flowers. I mean, the
yes.
entirety of that song is I can do it for myself
yeah.
better than anyone else can. Now, do you want someone else to do it?
yes.
you know,
sure.
But I do think that's the root of it. And that's why
yeah.
you really do have to love yourself. And yeah. I constantly have to give myself more grace.
Well, that's a business vitamin too. We all need to give ourselves
Ooh,
and
really
those around
is.
Us more grace. That's, you know, when you're generous with grace, I think your life is better and more fruitful. Mary, what are you looking forward to? So now you're in the C-suite. Whitaker Center, which
yeah.
is renowned in, you know, I'll just say the East Coast. Clearly you've got challenges, you've got opportunities facing you in you're in day 91
still
what
here.
Are you most looking forward to for 24 and 25?
Well, this is a great moment in time because it is our 25th anniversary.
Ooh,
coming up.
That's good.
You know, so Whitaker opened its doors 9/9/99.
Wow.
Fun fact, my birthday's 9/10, so might have dropped that in during the interview process
right?
for the pity vote. I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's a great moment in time for Whittaker to kind of revitalize itself. You know, the pandemic was a huge challenge, obviously, on the world. But as a shuttered event venue, you know, it really set us back quite a bit. Yeah. And then while doors technically reopened mid-21, there was a lot of ground to be made up. And we're, I think, just at the tail end of that. I really want to rear view that pandemic.
Good, you know.
I want to be done with it as an excuse or a reason or anything. But it has had a ripple effect that continues to impact, you know, our day-to-day. So we're really looking forward to putting together, you know, a great celebration, of this, you know, silver anniversary. But it's really also about building what Whittaker Next is going to be. I'm again, the windshield now, not the rear view. So what is the next 25 years have in store? And it's putting all of those pieces in place, you know, to be a venue that is known to be accessible, known to be welcoming, known to be inclusive, you know, workforce development. How do we, as a place of education and learning through play, our curriculum starts at 3 years old.
Right.
3 years old. We're already starting with the little kiddos that come in the doors on a weekly basis, all the way up to high schoolers.
Yeah.
You know, that hub with the connectivity to Harrisburg University and our partners there. How are we helping to plant the seeds of especially careers in the STEM and STEAM field? You know, I don't like to leave out STEAM because we're also an arts institute. We have a very vibrant theater that we hope to have the lights on more often, with some great programming being added to, you know, our calendar as we move forward. So we're building Whittaker Y. I've been intentionally on a listening tour. First 90 days. Start with the key players at the team level. You know, my first 30 days included one-on-ones with every single one of Team Whittaker individuals. What's their Whittaker why? Why do they show up? Why have they continued to show up, even with these challenging years, and do what they do every day? And then what is the culture at Whittaker? How would they define it? And most importantly, what do they want it to be so they can be their best self doing their best work every single day? Because if they're not coming with an owner's mentality rather than a renter's mentality, this is not the right team for them, you know? So those are the conversations we had. We followed that up with this next step just in January with a board survey and a self-assessment. Because that's really, they're my bosses. So I'm asking them to evaluate their Whittaker why. Why are you connected to this organization? What does it mean to you? What has it meant to you? And why will you continue to be a part of us helping to, you know, revitalize this? And then we'll trickle that out into the community as well. So all of those lenses will come into where the vision actually manifests from. It's not just Mary's vision. It's we collectively as a community. I can't think about what every different population need is and aim to fulfill it if I don't ask them first. That's what we're working on right now.
Okay, one last question, Mary. What would you tell your younger self?
What would I tell my younger self? Gosh, again, there's so many things I tell my 20-year-old daughter.
And
so
it could be something that you were really proud of, a situation you handled, or something that you wish you knew then that now that you do.
I think, you know, I've grounded myself in very specific non-negotiables in life.
Good.
You know, I've always had a few non-negotiables that I've tried to live by. And I think back to what you said, though, knowing that it's okay to give myself grace if I veer away from them. Being a role model to my children is one of the best jobs I've ever had in my life so far. I want to continue doing that. So, you know, non-negotiables. Be on time, have a positive attitude, and just pitch in with whatever needs to get done, getting it done. So those three letters on my business card, while meaningful for certain reasons, doesn't mean that I don't help gather the trash at the end of the night, or I don't pitch in if somebody calls off and, you know, we just need somebody at the box office to sell and collect tickets. So I've kept those three non-negotiables, personal, community, professional, and there have been moments of deviation in my own, not to beat ourselves up, you know, give ourselves the grace and space to kind of reset ourselves as well. I didn't do that early enough on, always striving for that perfection, striving to be best in class, best at job, best in role, best at this. It's exhausting. It's exhausting.
Fighting, fighting, fighting.
Yeah. I know.
So where can we find, it's whitakercenter.org.com.
Yes, whitakercenter.org. Okay. I'm going to be putting that through a construction phase over the next 3 to 6 months as we're giving the website a well-needed, you know, facelift, so to speak. And just to be able to kind of reinvigorate that as a destination as well for people to find us, to engage with us, to connect with us, educate them there, and just continue to welcome them in the actual doors.
Well, the theme of grit and gravitas, savvy, spirited stories of success, there's probably no finer example.
I'm sure there are many.
I'm excited to learn more about the journey, your setbacks, your comebacks, and really, you're such an inspiration to of us, young men and women, of you know, how we can make our own journey to success. So thanks for all you do in the community.
You, Mary, thank you, and both. Good luck.
And thank
Best
you for having
luck.
Me.
Have
you're
a high gear day.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening. It's our desire that these stories will bring energy, ideas, and fresh thinking that you can use today. Subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Instagram, and have a high gear day.